This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Today, 7 days a week. You know what you can do? Call us on the Oasis hotline. It's the Be the Buffalo hotline. What the heck does that mean? I think you know by now. A lot of North Dakotans have that Be the Buffalo spirit. You go into the storm. And our friends at Oasis Petroleum, they're in a storm just like everybody else right now in the oil and gas business. But they've been in a storm before. So, and they've gotten out of the storm. So, I like their chances. And I like your chances, too. And I love the fact that they celebrate North Dakotans' agriculture right now. What are you doing? You're the Buffalo. You're going in the storm. Oil and gas industry, same thing. Try ranching right now. Oh, my gosh. Pretty amazing. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Kevin from the Mississippi so far. And guys, when we have Judy Lee and Chris Larson both connected, both of them, okay, great. I was going to say, let me know. You let me know. So we got that. And I'm just going to finish and let you know that we're going to continue this conversation with Kevin. Kevin, you expressed a dream. You want to do this. Mm-hmm. And you want to do it for kids and help them.
Correct.
And now in North Dakota, you're going to meet people and try and make that happen. Do you want that to be something that launches from here?
I can definitely see it happening. I really can. And I'm excited to get to do it and be a part of it with the North Dakotans.
North Dakotans. That's fabulous. And, no, this is a conversation that starts today, not ends today. It was good to meet you at the event. And appreciate very much your explanation. I still am just blown away by, at 24, how eloquently you can describe an issue that has perplexed this country for a lot of years with racial tension. And you've given us the roadmap. Question is, you know, can folks follow it?
Yeah.
And that's up to them. But thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Kevin from Mississippi. That's his new title. That's right. Just easier to remember for me. Kevin from Mississippi. And I'm Scott from North Dakota. And this is What's on Your Mind. And we continue. Yesterday, we started a conversation about nursing homes in North Dakota, long-term care facilities, congregate care, it's sometimes called. Essentially, when a resident is in a facility that cares for them because they can't be cared for by their loved ones. Obviously, it has been ground zero of the COVID-19 problem in the United States and certainly here in North Dakota as well. So when I say problem, many, many of the cases have come from congregate care. And it's ripe for that kind of activity because why? You have staff that come home and go back to work and come home and go back to work. And you have residents that don't leave. And so they can get COVID. Well, they also could get that from family members. So they've been banned because they need staff. And some have said they don't need family members. I hope our two guests that will join us now can convince others that just like they need staff, they need family. And they need it sooner rather than later. So the prediction of Chris Larson will not be borne out. And that is that more people would die from a broken heart than they would from COVID in North Dakota senior care facilities. Chris Larson is the Reuniting Residents and Family Task Force Chairman. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Morning, Scott. Not bad. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Chris is also our producer, so we talk to Chris every day. North Dakota State Senator Judy Lee is here. She's a Republican from West Fargo and widely known as the person that just knows human services backwards and forwards. Judy, thanks for the time today as well.
Thanks for the invitation.
Let me begin with you, Judy. Do you agree with me that staff bringing into a nursing home from family to a resident, in other words, they're back and forth with their families, come in is a potential threat and has been. Families would be too, but right now they're blocked off. But aren't they just as important as staff? Don't we have to find a way to expedite this?
Absolutely, and I want to give Chris credit for being the one who initiated this Reuniting Families Task Force, not only is he the chair, but if it weren't for his requesting of the Long-Term Care Association or suggesting that that group of administrators and residents, and now some family members will be engaged a bit in a later meeting, we wouldn't be having that group. There are certainly people who have been working on it, and I am not the only one. But the whole idea of restricting people in the vulnerable populations, of course, has merit as far as a real highly targeted area such as New York City has had, for example. However, there has been not nearly enough attention given to the emotional impact of being in solitary confinement, and there's just no other way to describe it. They are, assisted living means that I'm an independent living person who needs a little bit of help, but I'm living in my own space. I might have my own car. I might go get groceries, which I haven't been able to do if I'm in that facility. And that's very different from skilled care, skilled nursing care, which is a much higher level of care. And most people are less likely to leave the facility. So there needs to be a differentiation there. The other thing is that, you know, they're not only required to remain in the facility, as you may have discussed before, but they're required to remain in their rooms, or some of them are in apartments. So I have a pretty good-sized bedroom, and if I had to live in my bedroom for the last 79 days and have people bring me my meals and just be in there, I would, I don't know, crawl the walls, curl up in a fetal position, pick something. But that's what's going on. They cannot leave their rooms, and there isn't anybody who deals well with that. So we absolutely have to have some way of addressing the need for them to connect with family. And it's scary for the facilities and for the medical directors, too, because they don't want anybody vulnerable being subjected to the virus. But just a brief little example. A friend yesterday told me that she had been able for the first time to go visit her mother in a local assisted living facility. She's a pretty capable older lady, but she is legally blind. And so they were able to be in an outdoor space, 6 feet apart, masked and all of that. But her mother had a hard time. She wanted to hug her daughter. She wanted to hold her hand, and she couldn't do that because of the 6 feet. And it was hard for her to really grasp the idea that her daughter was there. It wasn't all that much better than a phone call. So we're not recognizing the extraordinary burden that this has been to the people who are being subjected to the kind of restraints that are done in order to have good intentions, but the unintended consequences are at least as serious.
Judy, I want to ask you a little bit about how we get out of this. It doesn't really matter how we got here, and I think COVID at one point was a threat that was very, obviously we had to take serious. We keep learning more and more information. Honestly, I don't get up every day worried about what bug I'm going to get, right? So, if you're in a nursing home and you become ill, you know, many of those people are going to die, whether that's the flu, whether that's, a knock on the head, whether that's, a good cough, whatever, right? No, and I'm not trying to diminish the fact that, you know, that's not traumatic to everybody. But my point is, if we put them in a bubble and we take away something that keeps their spirit, we've essentially done more harm to them than the potential of somebody bringing something in. So how do we fix it now?
You're right, and I think that people have been so consumed with the medical side of it, with the virus, that we've lost sight of a couple of other things. For one thing, it can't be one size fits all. I mean, the rules came from the feds. We're doing what the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services has directed the states to do. Now the opening up begins. But we all know Cass County has more cases than any place else in the state. However, we also have a diminished number of positive tests and many people who have recovered. There's some great data that if y'all don't have it, I can send it to you. But when we look at what the deaths are, because I get that information every day that are in a nursing home, one day, for example, there were 6 in the state, and there were in one particular facility it was listed that they were from the ages of 80 to 104, and one was on hospice care. So if somebody has terminal cancer, for example, did they die from COVID or from cancer? And it's very hard for the health departments to be able to help have differentiation on some of that. So right now it's just deaths in nursing homes. So back to the more important question, how do we get out of it? The governor, the lieutenant governor, and the health department, and we have a new health director, Dr. Andrew Stahl, and Chris Jones, who's head of the Department of Human Services, are a part of this effort that Chris is a part of as well, to figure out how to do this. I mean, the center of North Dakota has very few cases, so their point in the rules might be different from what it is in Cass, and it's, you know, I'm just being realistic because we have more challenges here, although our administrators here have done wonderful work in making sure that we know what's going on. And so is the State Department of Health. But we have to now figure out, how do we open that up? How do we make sure there's proper visitation?
All right, there can't be groups of 30. There is a plan on the table, I understand. Chris explained it to me yesterday, and I got a headache, only because I want to be able to understand the plan enough so I can communicate to what it is when I get 15 emails, 15 texts, and a few calls a day with people that are just fed up with it. So before we're done, we got to get to it. Concrete, how do we fix it? More
Brian Wheaties with us from Red Trail Energy in Richardton, North Dakota.
We produce 64 million gallons of ethanol annually. Now, in order to do that, you know, we procure about 23 million bushels of corn annually, and 98% of that is bought directly off the farm across 32 counties in North Dakota, in northwestern South Dakota, eastern Montana. So that in itself, obviously, is a huge economic impact, you know, for the agriculture community out here. It's nice to know that part of the tax revenue that we generate here, especially for the city of Richardton, you know, they just finished building a new school, and knowing that part of our tax dollars helped aid in that construction of a new school is a pretty good feeling for us here at Red Trail.
Why should North Dakotans use ethanol?
I truly believe ethanol is a much better product than it gets credit for. It's a high-octane fuel. It reduces our greenhouse gas emissions drastically. When you're putting ethanol in your vehicle, you're more likely either supporting yourself or somebody you know within the agricultural community.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
Our region has a deep tradition of supporting conservation, where we're taught to leave a place better off than we found it. We know that our land, our air, and our water are precious resources, which is why the coal industry has been nationally recognized for preserving, protecting, and enhancing our land by reclaiming more than 20,000 acres once mining is finished. That land is used to hunt, fish, and feed the world. That same resourcefulness that's used to reclaim land is now being put to use to capture non-toxic emissions, including carbon dioxide from power plants. Researchers at the University of North Dakota are working to explore geology to store the carbon dioxide safely deep underground, where it will stay permanently. This next generation technology will not only enhance our nation-leading clean air standards, but protect 15,000 good-paying jobs by using homegrown energy resources. Learn more at www.secureenergyfuture.org/CCUS.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Past the hour, we're live in Bismarck today at the North Dakota Petroleum Council's offices on Broadway. And we are looking forward to being a part of the governor's briefing later today. When I say part of, I guess we'll be in the audience as media like everybody else, but get a chance to ask a couple of questions and visit. So we're looking forward to that. We're brought to you in part today by our friends at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. Vince and his team have really, really, really found a way to connect folks with a way that, number one, makes them healthier. Sauna, hot tub. But second of all, bring families back together. I mean, think of that. You can have a health benefit, a wellness benefit from these, and you can have family time. You put those two together, they go very well. And I'm still just blown away by some of the things I've heard recently about saunas. And yes, there's all kinds of remedies out there for different things. But if you have heart disease, if you have lung disease, you go right down the list, and you say your chance of recovery or chance of getting it is that much less with X amount of sauna time. Your odds, your health odds, your wellness, your well-being changes for the better the more you use the sauna. And I don't know about you, Todd, but I don't think that's actually a punishment, using the sauna. As opposed to sort of, I tell you honestly, what got me is I heard a doctor talking to some heart doctors, and she said, forgive me, I'm going to just spitball the time, but like 45 minutes in a sauna three times a week is the equivalent of riding a treadmill 20 minutes a day, every day. I'm like, well, I think I'll do the sauna. Todd can do the treadmill, I'll do the sauna. So it's really amazing. And they also have the backyard stuff that's just incredible. And the best Tropitone patio furniture. They're good folks. Hot spring spas and pool tables, too. Check them out online. Stop and see them. Fargo, Bismarck, and Grand Forks. Okay, back with Judy Lee and Chris Larson. We're talking about residents and families being reunited. We're talking about the current policies. I think we're all in agreement. The current setup doesn't work. There is a new policy I know that's underway. I credit Chris Jones, head of the DHS, because I was at a briefing one time. I forget the last one I was at, but 3 weeks ago maybe, and I said, talked about what I'm hearing from people and the concerns, and he said, you know what? We're going to have a plan ready to go on Monday, which was the Monday of Memorial Day, and it was Tuesday. I took that to mean the changes would happen that day, but then the actual plan came a few days later. Chris, what is that plan? Just in English, what is the plan right now?
So the plan is that beginning as soon as facilities can, they'll begin with internal opening of dining and limited activities, and then be able to open to scheduled outside visitation in the immediate future, with the eventual scheduling of facilities being able to open visitation within the facility during later phases of the plan.
Later phases of the plan. And I understand, you know this better than anybody, Judy, all the different levels and all the things you have to do. First of all, Seema Verda, head of CMS, was on the show. I sound like a broken record to the audience, but she was on the show, and I just said kind of everything I've said to you about how this frustrates me. And I said, why not just let governors decide? And then maybe the governors could say, hey, counties, you decide. Why in the world do they need to be dictated to by you? And she said, they don't. And she's Mike Pence's former, she was the Chris Jones in Indiana for Mike Pence when he was governor. She said they don't. And right now, we're going to give as much flexibility as we can to these governors. And I said, how about a pilot project? If North Dakota says, we think we can do this a little bit better than anybody else and prove it's not a big risk, would you do it? We'll do it. We'll look at anything. You know, we respect your governor. He does a good job. So the feds, it seems, have given a green light. And I know that's maybe a little bit of happy talk. But according to others, she doesn't do happy talk. And they don't want to hear phases. They don't want to hear testing. They want to know, when do I see my mom? When can I get back in a routine? So if I asked you that, based on what you know from the plan Chris just read, how do you answer?
I want it to happen as quickly as it can, just like everybody else does. And the feds had set out guidelines in the first place, and the guidelines are what most governors have responded to because CMS has some expertise. And I wouldn't want to be the governor who's had to deal with all this COVID stuff. I think he's done a pretty good job, a very good job in lots of areas. But he's listening to the advice of other people. And so it's the CMS directives, which Chris and I have both read, talk about what can be done. So anyway, there have to be phases because you have to see, as is true with opening up restaurants at 25% and then 50%, how does that go and then what's the next step? So the testing is important. But we can't wait until we have a perfect test. We can't wait until there's a vaccine. The governor needs to issue an executive order that enables some of these things to happen in order for the administrators to feel comfortable and that they're not violating the rules that are in place for them to keep their clients and residents safe. So that's what we're trying to do in this group that Chris is leading, is provide a recommendation, which includes some of those state people that we're talking about, to the governor, so that in a soon, I hope, executive order, that there will be some latitude for change to be made depending on the number of positive cases in that area. Swope County is going to have a different setup probably than Cass. That's just realistic. So, yes, we want it. I believe that the governor does, too, want to do what he can, but nobody wants our risk to go too quickly to a high level for a vulnerable population. And I think in the last week, that awareness of the emotional impact of this has become much more clear to people.
But, you know, here's the deal. Do you think, with all due respect, that you or anybody at CMS or anybody at the Human Services Department or the governor's office cares more about loved ones than, these residents than their loved ones do?
Of course not. We all do. That's the whole point. Almost all of us know someone if we don't have family members in skilled care facilities. But as far as saying we can just open the doors and let everybody come in, I can't go visit the friends that I have living in Cheyenne Crossings right now, and that's 3 blocks away from me. And it's safer for them. And I don't like it, and they don't like it. But until we figure out how we're going to do this, I don't want it to be obstructionist, Scott. I want you to understand that.
No.
But if we can start with family and not have them all wrapped up in all the PPE stuff, have a mask, have a temperature taken like the staff does when they walk in for every shift. And a bigger deal, actually, or at least as big a deal, is them being able to do things with other residents in the building. Being able, as Chris mentioned, to go back to having their dinners together, to be able to gather in small conversational groups with friends who live in other apartments or rooms, which is at least then you're getting out of your space and you're talking to other folks that you know and live with in this structure. So those things I see as being important to do right away, even before we might have crowds of people coming in. But family, absolutely. And at the beginning, when the federal, and I have a friend who worked with Seema Verma in Indiana. I know she's an extremely capable person and not wishy-washy. But at the beginning, they were not telling anybody that they should let anyone into a nursing home or a hospital. And you know that people died with not a single person around from the family to hold their hand. That's wrong. That's just immoral. So
it sure has to change. I don't know why in America, where we have something called the 10th Amendment, thanks to those wonderful, genius founders of ours, that we can't let North Dakota decide what is best for North Dakota. I understand it's federal money, so they get the strings, but it is arrogance beyond belief to suggest they care more than we do about these loved ones. Two more quick questions. Hang tight, Judy. More after this.
We're Tioga Chamber of Commerce, and we want you to consider Tioga, North Dakota, for your business or a place to raise your family and realize your career dreams. Tioga's average yearly household income of over $73,000 a year supports nearly 140 area businesses. Tioga is a driver and innovator in local education with technologies like drones, 3D printers, electronics, and coding opportunities to prepare students for success well into the 21st century. Tioga is an active community that offers great activities for families like Freedom Fest, Drone Camp for Kids, Robot Camp for Kids, Farm Festival, and Pumpkin Festival. Tioga Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor programming on AM 1090 KTGO and AM 550 KFYR. We want you to consider Tioga, North Dakota for your business or a place to raise your family and realize your career dreams. If you're looking for great opportunities, please visit us in Tioga and experience a great point of view. Or for more information, visit TiogaND.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Some states are moving quickly in the direction of police reforms following the death of George Floyd.
In New York State, Governor Andrew Cuomo is expected to sign police reform bills that include one to release police disciplinary records. Democratic Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins saying lawmakers have repealed an old state civil rights law that shields the public from learning about officer misconduct and disciplinary actions.
There's smoke, there's fire. If you've got 15 accusations of excessive force, chances are there's something wrong in the way you're interacting with the public.
A U.S. Senate resolution shows Republican opposition to defunding police departments. The resolution was introduced yesterday, also calling for justice for George Floyd's death. And this is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Your mind brought to you by our man CJ and Dak Diesel.
Crystal, do I have any time on my calendar to pop in and say hi to CJ? We're going from here to lunch, we're going there to the meeting, and we have 1 o'clock and a 2 o'clock and a 3 o'clock. And, we'll be at the briefing at 3:30, State Capitol. I guess on the way out of there, they probably work till midnight at Dak Diesel. It's just amazing how they are able to fix anything diesel. That's what they do at Dak Diesel. So if you're perplexed, it's just not working out, then CJ and the team are waiting for you, okay? You just give them a call at Dak Diesel, 701-258-5011, for all the repair and maintenance needs of your diesel vehicle, online at DakDiesel.com. All right, 28 before the top of the hour, we're back with our guest, Chris Larson. Chris is the chair of a very innovative committee. I applaud everybody that's I remember Chris Jones was the one that told me this. He said, well, we have your Chris Larson on our committee, and I'm like, wow, fantastic. Who better than a resident of a nursing home to actually be on a task force about residents in a nursing home being reunited with their families? So we're proud of Chris for doing that. And then Judy Lee is, of course, the task force, or North Dakota State Senator, rather, Judy Lee. I've been the chair and task force of many things. But you're still chairing House. No, Senate.
Human Services, right.
Yeah. Sorry, that was a mouthful. Okay, back with these two. Chris, how many long-term care facilities are there in North Dakota?
218.
And I haven't followed real closely for a while where the amount of cases are. I know at one time you could go and look and say a majority of the cases were from, you know, our total cases were from long-term care. Where is that at now? How many residents have tested positive for COVID-19?
Current active positive residents, 18 of them.
Okay, how about staff?
14.
All right, and those numbers have been higher, obviously. We know that because of testing. And, I too will give Governor Burgum a lot of credit for the fact that very early on he said, let's just get our arms around what kind of a problem we have here, and we're not going to know unless we have some data, and we're not going to have some data unless we do some testing. And, you know, they've crushed it, right? They've been among the top of the nation of per capita testing and everything else. But is the time for testing behind us? Do we need testing with numbers that low, knowing we're going the direction that we are? I'm asking that of you, Judy.
Hi, sorry, I didn't know if you were still asking, Chris. I I absolutely understand what you're saying. In fact, I have a wonderful website that comes out every day with the Joint Information Center data on cases by age group and so forth that talks about the number of active cases, the number of recovered, the number of deaths in every demographic group. And we can see that what we have been doing has been effective. The thing is, there's no control group that says if you didn't do this, this is what had happened. So how do we know for sure? We're hoping that what has been done is useful. So I think I see the temperature taking and the history about whether or not you've been to China in the last 2 weeks or whatever being an important thing. But I think it's overreacting, perhaps, in my opinion, and I'm not an epidemiologist, but to say that they have to go in with all the PPE equipment, that they have to have the face, not only the face mask, but the face shield and the gown and all that stuff, the boots. Their family members aren't even going to recognize them if they have any kind of cognitive challenges. So I think that let's just be sensible if we can from my non-medical point of view about testing and do the temperatures and do the history as they will do for the staff members who are coming in and out of the shift too. Not that they went to China overnight, but you know what I mean. So some sense of reality. Yeah, we do have to do that. There has to be some monitoring.
One of the more powerful lobbies is the Long-Term Care Association. And Shelley Johnson leads that. It is,
Shelley Peterson, yeah.
I'm sorry, Shelley Peterson. I have a sleep-deprived kind of morning here on the show. But anyway, so Shelley obviously has been very successful, I would say, and that organization has been very successful in getting pretty much whatever they want. Now, I don't necessarily think that's a good thing because I don't think there's a balance there between what the facilities want and what the residents want. Should there be an equal to what the Long-Term Care Association does with the most important commodity, the people that pay the bills?
Well, in North Dakota, there's a significant number of those people, half of whom are paid for by the feds through the Medicaid match, and half of whom are being paid by private pay or insurance. And so that's not really the way to manage it either. I defend Shelley in many ways because she does a very effective job and cares a lot about the residents, including her own family members who have been residents of facilities that serve vulnerable adults. So I'm not beating up on Shelley at all. I think she's really watched for what's going on. I think she tries to work with the administrators in learning all she can about what is needed. And as a result, she's effective in representing the needs of long-term care, but it is not just, in my opinion, and I've been listening to this for 25 years, it is not just what's best for the facilities, but she really does care, as I think administrators do, about protecting and serving the people who are there.
I'm not suggesting she doesn't care, but I'm saying her main mission is the financial health and well-being of the institutions. That's great. That's the Long-Term Care Association.
That's not only it, though. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, how many? If I looked at her board, how many residents are on the board?
I don't know who's on the board, so I can't answer that today. I mean, I can find out if you'd
like
to know.
Yeah, no, I'm just what I'm getting at is that they should do what they do. I mean, that's who's probably paying the dues and everything else, and that's fine. But why not have an equal voice at the table representing the residents? I don't know that you can. You know, in her case, she has empathy. I have empathy. I agree with you, but I don't, it's just sort of almost unethical to say, well, they represent the, the building. What do they want? They want residents. They want as many residents as possible in those buildings, like any business would. But that isn't necessarily what the residents want. They don't want to be there as long as possible. I know you and I have talked about this before, but, the amount of money that could be saved by home health care being an option that is promoted, when you look at, I just see so many people draining their life savings, their entire world, to then have the federal government come in and pay the bill, and yet they don't even have a voice. And that just seems wrong to me. That's how we get to places where we're at right now. Am I wrong?
But we don't have time to really get into. Yes, I agree with the general premise, but I don't know that having a board made up of primarily residents is the answer any more than a dental board being primarily dental patients is the answer. There have to be people who have expertise in the way the service is provided as well as the people who are being served. And there certainly is input from administrators and families. I mean, everybody who wants to tell a governor what they want right now, send him a message, you know. That's where it's coming from right now. I mean, if it isn't any executive order, you and I can't make it happen. So.
Well, you're saying, yeah, he could make an executive order to fix it, make it different, but I don't put it all on him.
No, I'm not talking about the board. The board, actually, there is a federal court ruling that says that occupational boards, for example, have to have a certain number of public members on in order to be a legal board. And hers is not an occupational board because it's not licensing people, but it's a professional association of the facilities. But, you know, I think we're getting into the weeds with that when our real goal here is to make sure that what we're trying to do is have a coordinated effort to make sure that the people we care about, and even if we don't know them, we care about them, the people who have been confined to their rooms and their apartments in senior congregate facilities for too long, how do we enable them to be able not only to get outside but to have people come in and to visit and do things within the facility that are important to them? That's the step we have to make next. Changing the makeup of the board today is not a relevant discussion.
No,
I think that's a future discussion.
Fair point. I'm just frustrated that the elderly don't have the voice. Who's sticking up for them? Who is their voice? And obviously there are voices there. You're one of them, but it's not enough to change this. So in my mind, I get everybody's hearts in the right place. I'm not trying to be super critical. I'm saying it has to change. There are too many sad stories about people that have absolutely lost their will to live because they don't know where their family is. It's wrong. It has to stop. And these people should be able to sign a waiver saying, I don't care if anybody comes in my room. I don't care. You know, whatever, maybe that. I get there's liability issues for the facility, so have the waiver go to the resident. I don't know. Chris, you've heard me on this rant for a while. Are you encouraged that we're getting closer to a solution here? You got Judy obviously pushing. You got, everybody talking about this. What is your thought on where we're at today?
You know, I'm encouraged that we're getting closer, but at this point, we're not close enough. We have to get families back in, and if we're looking at even with facilities that are in stage one, or phase one being 14 days away, I mean, for some of these people, Scott, that's 14 days too many that they have to wait to see their families. And I know scheduled outside visitation can happen, but there are people that can't go outside. So for a lot of these places, this next 14 days for those that are in phase one is 14 days too much. But I am encouraged that we're taking the right steps, and we got even closer with a call with families over the weekend and another call today with families. We're taking steps in the right direction.
Let me ask you in the minute we have left, Chris, if I called Luther Memorial Home in Mayville and I said, I have a dear friend and someone that works for us by the name of Chris Larson, who you knew well. It's a beautiful summer day. I'm going to be outside. Can he just go outside and then we can sit there on the grass somewhere and 3 feet away, 5 feet away, wearing masks, whatever, have a conversation? Could you do that?
Today, no.
Because you're in jail. You're not in a nursing home. You're in jail.
Mm-hmm.
More than one person has described it as that, yes.
Well, is that fair? Is that unfair, though, Judy? I mean, because...
No, it's not unfair. We're in the same team here. I mean, it's absolutely solitary confinement. I get it.
And I understand everybody's got to be careful. Why can't they do it outside? Why wouldn't they be able to say, we're going to go outside? They've been talking about outside visitations for a long time.
Assisted living has been able to do some of that because they are it's a different kind of category. They're not all the same. But but look at it. What did we have this past week? 90 and 91 and 95 degree temperatures. Now it's 60 and it rained for 2 days. You know, I don't want to sit out in the rain or the sun or at 60. I'm cold at 60. So yeah. There's a limit to outside visits as well. We've got to find a practical way for people to be able to meet in sheltered spaces.
Yeah, there's a, they have umbrellas, I heard. And what I would do is I'd sit on a park bench with my mother, rest her soul, if she'd been a Bethany, and I'd sit outside like we did many times. I'd give her an ice cream cone, and then I'd go 3 feet away and you know, have a conversation. We've got to fix it, and I know you two are trying very hard. I appreciate that effort. Thank you so much. All we're doing is speaking for the people who call us, folks. More after
this. Got gyps in your sidewalk? Is your driveway sinking? The drastic change in the weather can take a real toll on your concrete.
At Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North, we've got the solution. Polyjacking. Similar to mud jacking, polyjacking requires smaller holes and does not retain moisture, meaning less heaving and quicker dry time with longer lasting results. Polyjacking from Precision Concrete Cutters, the practical solution to concrete replacement. To learn more, go to pccnd.com.
North Dakota is building stronger communities by uniting landowners and county officials and supporting more wind power for the prairie. 29 counties are seeing wind energy enhance their schools, roads, and emergency response teams. Landowners support harnessing wind to provide consistent income for 25 years. Together, we can build a better tomorrow with good jobs and stronger communities and keep our electricity rates among the lowest in the country. Paid for by North Dakotans for comprehensive energy solutions.
For years, Peklet Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City has been there for you, and we're here for you now. Our top priority continues to be to keep our community safe and healthy. That's why we are taking extra measures in cleaning our facility to minimize any health risks. Convenient pickup and delivery to your home or office for sales and service is still available. Together, we will get through this and be stronger for it. Thank you from everyone at Peklet Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City.
Jim, the flagpole guy, is here. Just told me a great story about when people call him, how they talk about the flag. The flag is what they're listening to, and the flag is what they want to fly. You've got a great bond with our listeners, don't you?
Oh, sure, Scott. It's not just any flag. It's the flag you represent.
It's standing up for freedom.
That's what makes America great, is freedom of the individual.
Show that you stand up for the American dream by flying that flag. Call Jim, 701-571-FLAG, or online at ndflagpoleguy.com.
And thank you.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
On your mind, powered by Schwann Buick GMC. Overstocked?
Huge special purchase of off-lease GM program cars and sport utilities, Enclaves, Acadias, Yukons, Malibus, Cruises. Some of this fuse 5,000 miles. Payments as low as $199 a month, all with that lifetime warranty. Over 150 pre-owned to choose from. We could trade in your vehicle, even if you still owe money on it. If you don't like it, trade it. Schwann Buick GMC, where your warranty lasts a lifetime. Check out more at SchwannBuickGMC.com.
Hey, we are live and on location from the North Dakota Petroleum Council today on What's on Your Mind. And Ron Ness has just popped in here with his, I believe that's a Wilson Basin Petroleum Conference tie, and a sharp one, I might add. It has the oil rigs right on it, the whole deal, right?
Scotty, we are going oily this year. There's no hiding. There's no hiding an oil rig on this tie, as you can tell. We are bullish on oil, and I'm bullish on North Dakota, and I'm bullish on getting past that primary yesterday, so everybody can get back to business for a while here. But you're in Bismarck. Doesn't it feel hopping here?
Yeah, you know, it just does. There's just a lot. I think you know, I have to tell you, even Fargo is getting to the point where you don't really notice much of it right anymore. But certainly Bismarck is like, you can't even, you know. I've been in Minneapolis. I've been in Fargo. I've been in Bismarck. And Bismarck would be the city that you can't really, COVID what? It's back. It's busy.
I just walked out of the public hearing at the North Dakota Industrial Commission on that fabulous program that they're rolling out with the CARES Act that's going to put thousands of North Dakota oil field workers and small North Dakota service companies to work and keep them engaged and keep them on the ready so when we ramp this back up. But it was a full hearing. It was an in-person hearing. It was been doing these things by phone for 3 months, and it's just so much better. I don't care what anybody says. The Teams and the Zoom and all that stuff work great, but we had a staff meeting here yesterday, same thing. I had my squad here, and it was just we just took it to a whole new level, I thought. We came up with ideas, and those things on the Teams call, you kind of listen, you kind of don't. You're half in, you're half out. And so
I think the markets might be feeling the same way, especially looking at that oil price. Oh, oil. I haven't looked today yet, but, boy, was it just nipping on 40 yesterday, wasn't it?
Well, I was thinking oil might retract yesterday, and you know what? It took off. So that's a good sign when it does that on a Monday, and we finish strong on a Friday, and you look at today, down about 18 cents, but still pushing $39. And at $39, you start looking at your existing Bakken wells very differently, I think. We've had, you know, we had almost 7,000 wells shut in. We've probably brought back on 700 of those wells, probably still producing less than 1 million barrels a day. But those wells are going to come back on because those are wells that you've invested in and you need to turn them back on now. And obviously, you want some of this world supply and demand. You don't want this thing to stall because, as some of our folks have said, it's real easy to get from $10, $12, $15 to $30 to $35. But we need to get to $55 plus, Scott, to bring that capitalization back into the Bakken and fire up the rigs and fire up the completion crews and drill new wells, because that's what drives the economy. That's what provides Fargo and Grand Forks and everywhere across the state with money that funds education, water, property tax relief, the prairie dog funds, all of those things.
And, you know, before there's been sort of, boy, if we get back to this number, then things will go pretty good or whatever. And you're always watching for that number. It isn't just hitting that number. It's going to be sort of sustained and kind of there for a while and have an idea. Okay, in other words, if it hit 55, drop back to 52. You need some time in the mid-50s there to get people really comfortable, right?
100%, especially on the producing wells where you're just not, that's your cash flow. So when they can make you money and keep your lights and your employees paid, you want to put those back on. But when you start talking about $7 million per well, that's an investment, and you have to have confidence that the price is going to sustain in that area, because it's going to take you several weeks, months, and plus to get that well rolling. So it's going to be a slow ramp up, and you know, at some point we thought maybe it might be a year, it might be a year and a half. I'm saying heck with that. Let's wrap this thing up by September. Let's get this thing going. When we do our Williston Basin Petroleum Conference in Bismarck on September 1 to 3, we think this is going to be a party. Let's rock and roll.
That's fantastic. And that's been on the calendar since it was postponed from May. Have you got the green light totally? I see they're doing some events at other places. I mean, do you expect Fargo Dome, they're going to do, drive-through testing here pretty quick again? And some of these facilities are beginning to kind of sort of get back open. You full steam ahead for September 1 through the 3rd?
We think we are full steam ahead. And, of course, we're completely adapting. We're going to try and become one of the first I don't like the word COVID compliant, but COVID, you know, we're going to be
COVID
safe.
Friendly. You don't no COVID, need to worry about it, right?
COVID friendly. We're going to have this thing, but we're going to provide a virtual option for people that from somewhere else in the world. Remember, we get people generally from 40 plus states here, from 7 to 9 countries. We're going to provide a virtual option. We're going to start virtual keynote speakers online a few weeks early for registrants. We're going to have virtual booths in addition to the live in-house action. We're going to provide live presentations. So we're going to take this thing to a whole new level. And I don't think we'll ever go back to the other route. I think it's a great opportunity for people to engage and understand the business opportunities in North Dakota, even if they can't get here. So I suspect that my challenge to our team here is we're going to do this. We're going to lead the world in terms of how we run a world-class conference right here in Bismarck, North Dakota. And we're going to do it well. It's going to be fantastic. And
if you own a business in North Dakota, you really should be there. But just to know where the industry is going, to know where there may be needs, to know where the development might happen, it just makes perfect sense. It really does. And obviously, everybody now wondering, when is it back? You're going to find all that out. September 1 through 3rd. What's the website folks can get on that?
You can get there through the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference 2020 or through the North Dakota Petroleum Council website.
Perfect. Williston Basin Petroleum Conference, WBPC. We're going to be there. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Ron. Nice to have you.
Hey, Scott. Have a great day.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks. We'll be at debriefing later today on What's on Your Mind.
So it looks like the summer of 2020 might be just a bit different than we thought, right? Well, head on in to see Vince at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too, to make something better out of it. Every day made better, like Hot Spring Spas. Like all the fun they have, the game tables, and guess what? The saunas. More and more research out about saunas and how healthy they are for you. Kill everything bad. Get in that sauna. Just clear your head. And you know what? With everything canceled this year, what a perfect summer to own your very own splash super pool. It's made in the USA. It's very easy to own. You'll have it for many years to come. The best swimming pool made. Sets up in less than an hour. Your very own swimming pool can be yours for as little as $90 a month or take advantage of 12 months, no interest, no payments. Take one home today. Swim tomorrow. Make your home the place to be this summer with a splash pool. From Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2 in Fargo, Bismarck, and Grand Forks. Online at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2. Tell them Scott sent you.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process, is called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.